Welcome to the Fan Pregame, brought to you by Betano. The game starts now. Ailish Forfar, Justin Cuthbert for the next hour, and we've got a Four Nations final set for you. Canada, USA, the rematch of our dreams on Thursday night.
Yeah, well, we got what we needed. It wasn't, convincing, and then it wasn't overly convincing, yeah. I guess, in the end. But yeah, we got what we came here for. I think the NHL is getting what it could only hope for coming in. This has been quite the moment in time for the National Hockey League, all things considered, what's going around in the sports world right now. But this Four Nations face-off, which has been so unbelievably successful and exciting, will have the grand finale that is befitting of this moment and of this competition so far. So it's going to be a hell of a night Thursday.
Yeah, we're going to be joined by Liam McHugh from NHL on TNT in about 5 minutes. We are ahead of USA Sweden, which is an 8 p.m. puck drop here on Sportsnet. That one doesn't mean much unless you're playing for some pride, as the Swedes will be. USA's already through the final. They'll be sitting Hellebuck. It'll be Ottinger tkachuk tonight. McAvoy sitting as well, and Matthew Tkachuk not in the lineup. So we'll go through a little bit of that before the game starts. But USA, you know, they're 2-0. They're smooth sailing to the final. Sweden has not won a game yet. So maybe they're playing for a little pride tonight. We're also going to be joined by Shai Davidi around 6:30. So the clock is ticking on the Vladdy potential extension. You know, if you follow Vladdy on Instagram, he's been putting on his story a little countdown, which could be towards spring training, but we're also taking it as the countdown to the imposed deadline. So it went from 4 to 3 to 2 to 1, and now it is just a clock, and the ticking is happening. So Shai will join us at 6:30, and it's like the witching hour in a sense. We'll know if there's a Vlad extension by tomorrow morning when he shows up to spring training.
Yeah, it's not as though like Instagram stories can tell you like the entire story of how one is feeling or the certain situation.
Feel like I am.
But certainly in terms of like pressure and the weight of the world being on shoulders of management versus player, like it feels like Vladdy's a little cooler with the situation as is than maybe the Blue Jays, who, yeah, if we're comparing which side should be feeling more pressure right now, of course it's the Toronto Blue Jays management, because Vladdy, it might only benefit him to wait. And I guess it could benefit the Blue Jays in some way if they wait or they choose to
wait. Even if Vlad has a horrible season, he's still going to make a lot of money free agency.
He's probably still going to get just as much as what's being offered at the moment. So he's in a position of power, no doubt. And I don't think those Instagram stories are all about the contract. But if a little bit of it is, I don't really blame the guy.
Yeah. We'll see what the pulse is when Shai Davidi joins us at 6:30. Okay, quickly before we bring in Liam, just your thoughts on, well, we know Canada, we're going to have all week to tee up Canada USA for the second time, which will be Thursday night, but like, what was Saturday like for you? Because it was unreal.
Yeah, Saturday was awesome. Saturday was as happy as I've been watching hockey, I think, in a very long time. I wasn't in the perfect like viewing situation, an engagement party for a friend, and luckily the game was on in the brewery, not bar, so it's kind of like
a little bit,
it wasn't sports bar-esque, it was like a projector on the TV, and just kind of being like, okay, it's going to be a little casual watching the first period, and gloves off a second in, and I had to basically go from the back of the room to the very front, like a nosebleed, watching the first period.
It was unreal.
As intently as possible. How was it for you?
Yeah, I couldn't believe my eyes. I was watching like at a bar, and it was all obviously Canadian fans and lots of jerseys. And it was just, okay, puck has dropped, fight. People were like, oh, my God, and then another fight, and then another fight. And I think, my mind wasn't computing at the speed of all these fights and the excitement, and it was just awesome to see. I mean, like, we don't see three fights really ever, and to see them that quickly in a game that's best on best, which obviously in international hockey, if it's Olympics, you're not fighting. I just thought it really set the pace for the game. And of course, we didn't get the result as Canadians, as you would have liked, but I don't feel like it changes anything. I think Canada's game today, which we'll have more time to talk about, new lines looked great. You got Cale Makar back in the lineup. Like, we're going to have a lot of time to look at the adjustments, but I feel really confident about this game being singularly focused on Thursday, going in our favor, and I felt that way for a long time.
Yeah, this has been a bit of a gradual process here for Canada. Get right, it felt like a lot today, and that wasn't just because of Jordan Binnington, but maybe they found the right line combinations.
Yes.
Braden Point playing with Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon together, it felt like that was the right top six.
That
I guess it
happen.
Comes at the expense of Mitch Marner, who's now a bit of a checker when he started as the number one right winger, but that doesn't really matter anymore. It looks like they got the right top six, And it looks like they have a pretty settled bottom six. And Jordan Binnington did have a pretty positive day despite what Finland did at 6-on-5. But yeah, we've been talking about it before Saturday. It meant less than the Olympics. It was going to mean less than the Olympics, but how much less it meant was all on the players. They were going to determine how much this actually meant. And the Tkachuks, Hagel, Bennett, Parayko, JT Miller, pretty much everyone who was on the ice in the Canada-USA game on Saturday night told us that it was going to mean a whole hell of a lot more than a lot of people expected and very close to an Olympic level in terms of stakes. It means everything to those players. It meant everything to everyone in that building. And it meant a lot to the hockey world. This is definitely something for the league to build on. It's been a perfect moment in time, as I mentioned, for this league.
It was interesting to contrast that with what happened to be the NBA All-Star Weekend, which felt like the players gave zero.
Fill in your own.
About, like, at all. They did not care to really try. And then you saw the opposite of these two teams going head-to-head. And then, you know, we'll have lots of time to talk about the NBA All-Star Weekend, how to fix that. I think they just got to go USA versus the world, because that brings out something in all of us. It's been so much fun watching and like having friends that text you that aren't really hockey fans that are sitting down to watch Canada USA and asking the stakes. And then even today with the 1 o'clock game, like what it meant, both teams had to win in regulation. I think it's just been set up perfectly. And of course, tonight's game between the United States and Sweden doesn't have any stakes necessarily on who's making it to the final. But it doesn't, it interests me just about USA now going into tonight without any pressure. They don't have to give 100%. They can rest guys. Like, how does this change things when we have to wait till Thursday? And this game being in Boston, this game is just, it's interesting. I think we'll have some time to think about our confidence level in Binnington. Did you have any second thoughts about him getting the start today?
Not really today, because I did think he played pretty well in the USA game. Like, well enough. That wasn't the greatest goal in the world, but it felt like they lost the opportunity to do the Hill thing.
Like right away.
It felt like they could have done it in the U.S. And then Binnington's case was a little bit stronger after the Sweden game following the Sweden game. It was a little bit stronger for him after the U.S. game. And then it's stronger after this game. And maybe if he continues to build throughout the tournament, the Canada gets to where it needs to go. But I do feel like that ship sailed a little bit. And now they just have to go with Binnington. And again, it was fine today. And I think he'll give them a chance to win, but we'll get through more of that to come over the next couple days here.
Yeah, most definitely. USA Sweden tonight, 8 p.m. start here on Sportsnet, and helping us tee it up and look ahead to Thursday's Liam McHugh of NHL on TNT. Liam, we appreciate jumping on. I mean, there's so much to go through. This has been pretty crazy. But you're on the other side of the border. So how's it resonating with the Americans and some of your Canadian colleagues?
It's been a sensational tournament, and I think what happened on Saturday night, that full-fledged fireworks show, it's lit a fuse in American fandom. I think there were a lot of people that didn't know what to expect from this tournament. There were a lot of people who immediately went in there doubting this tournament in terms of intensity. You heard a ton about, it's going to be a glorified exhibition, and there's going to be no hitting, and Saturday night, in 9 seconds, it put that narrative down. It's been awesome. It's a statement game by Team USA, and now we get the final that we want. We get the rematch between USA and Canada. We could see exactly what Canada can do to answer what the U.S. did on Saturday night. And, you know, we got a chance to talk to Drew Doughty earlier today, and I mean, it was fun to hear that what he wants is another physical, emotional game. And I think that's what all of us on both sides of the border want to see on Thursday night.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about how this impacts Americans, because we, I guess as Canadians, have this collective feeling that we're so excited on Saturday night and then we're immensely disappointed and then we're feeling very nervous today. And now I think there's a bit of relief as we get to set up this matchup again. But it is more interesting to me how it impacts Americans, because we see this groundswell of interest, support, buzz online. It's not just the fighting. It's not just the matchup with Canada. It's not just the political landscape. It's just hockey at this level seems to mean so much more to Americans, not necessarily against Canada, but on this stage when it's international. What is it about this type of moment, the U.S. playing in games like this, that fires everyone up? Because it's not just that the NBA had a brutal weekend. It's not just that we haven't seen it in a while. It just feels like that's what captures your guys' interest more than anything else?
Part of it, I really believe, is the style. It's a style that a casual fan can appreciate. It's the style that someone who almost never watches hockey but is interested in sports can appreciate. I mean, when you're 9 seconds in and, you know, there's gloves on the ice and there's mayhem happening, there's a charge that goes through just a common sports fan, and it resonates, and it gets this, you know, this entire country of sports fans fired up, excited. They want to see what the Kachucks are going to do next. And they want to see this team go out there and prove that they can play this style of hockey. Now, listen, I also think it's something that you don't see at the Olympics, right? Because in international hockey, when it's not NHL rules, listen, you can't fight. They're not letting you cross-check a guy on the ground after a play. I mean, that arm's going up immediately. Things are changing. So I think this style, the rink being NHL size, and just the fact that for the U.S., and I think for the casual fan, it's the stakes aren't as high as they are in Canada, right? I mean, we'll brag about this if we win, no doubt, because we're Americans and we will do that. It'll be enjoyable. But if we lose to Canada, we'll say, well, they had McDavid and they had Crosby and they had McKinnon, and we were right there with them. And, you know, we'll see you next year at the Olympics. The stakes are different for Canada. They just are. And, I mean, even though they avoid the early exit, which would have been, I can't even imagine what the headlines would have been like in Canada, it's win or bust for Canada. And it's not necessarily that for Team USA.
Good, no pressure.
Is that changing a little bit, though? Do you think it's like, maybe you got to win an Olympics, maybe you got to win this Four Nations, but
World Juniors-wise, like, they've been cooking.
Yeah, it feels like that's changing.
Oh, it's changed. I mean, and I think it feels that way for the players.
Yeah,
I do. Like, I think it feels that way for the players. And I think that it feels that way for the hardcore hockey fan. Absolutely. Because you've invested so much in hockey growing in this country and this generation of players, you know, there's a world of talent. And when you can go, your first two centers are, you know, Austin Matthews and Jack Eichel. I mean, you're talking about a 1-2 combination in terms of pure talent that this country just hasn't seen. I mean, you have the depth in goaltending. You know, listen, Quinn Hughes is out right now, but when you have a dynamic defenseman who is essentially this nation's answer to Cale Makar, it's a rare moment in USA hockey where, yeah, it's changing. I think for the casual fan, there's still that feeling that, hey, maybe this isn't our game. This is a great team, and I will root for them. I'll be excited. But, yeah, I think for the hardcore hockey fan, and certainly for the players, like, the players feel like it's win or else. And I think that's also what makes it fun, right? Like, I don't want a team in some ways that goes in there thinking, like, ah, if I could just, you know, if we could be respectable, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. You want a team that's going in there and saying, yeah, we're going to this tour because we plan on winning it and showing the world that we're the best.
Yeah, they set the table for it on Saturday night with the best on the best. Like, dropping the gloves, I know, is one thing, but playing really hard. And I wonder for you when you look at the Kachucks, because for us, we know our star is either Sidney Crosby or, you know, Nathan MacKinnon or Connor McDavid. Like, we don't have trouble choosing who was going to put on the face of our billboards, but you've got Austin Matthews as your captain. But really, the Kachucks have been the story, I think. And I wonder how much that's going to resonate with the casual fan. Like, can the Kachucks be the Kelce brothers? Are they going to be in every TV commercial? Are they going to have their own podcast? Like, are they going to be the next faces of American sports? Because up here, we know them enough. But I wonder what it's like south of the border. Like, can they take over American sporting life?
I think if anyone in hockey can, it's them. And I think it's because it goes beyond skill. It goes to personality. It goes to style of play. I mean, listen, there's a WWE element to these guys. Yeah. You know, it's not too hard to see it. You know, it wouldn't be that hard to daydream and see, like, 10 years down the line, these two guys hanging up skates and all of a sudden they're a tag team, you know, that people are watching in a Royal Rumble. They're quote machines. They, you know, they love the media spotlight. And in some ways, like, you know, I think a lot of families look there and say, like, oh, man, I wish I could raise a couple of boys like the Kachucks, you know, and or, you know, they turn to
I literally
their
sons said that
you
yesterday.
You better have your brothers back the way those Kachuk brothers have each other's backs. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of fans down here, those are the guys. And, yeah, I mean, they're in some ways hockey's answer to the Kelseys.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned it, like the belief or the expectation, I think it's seen so clearly through those two. Like they set the tone. They're mostly responsible, I think. I mean, Sidney Crosby in the opener, the three assists, his performance, kind of like, okay, this means something. But the Tkachuks took that to another level. And because they're the heartbeat or have been the heartbeat so far of this U.S. team, what happens if Matthew can't go in the final?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. That changes a lot. And I think it brings down an energy level, you know, and I don't know that it's really replaceable. I really don't. Brady is his own player, and he's dynamic, and he's intimidating. And, you know, we saw what he can do on the forecheck, and certainly Drew Doughty saw it firsthand when he looked like he was going to check him through the boards and into, like, the fifth row of the stands. But no, it changes things. And he's also, frankly, he's just a gamer and a winner. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's one of those guys that seems that he elevates his play and is comfortable playing the exact same way he played, you know, in an October NHL game as he is playing Game 7 of a Stanley Cup Final, as he is playing in a championship game internationally. And I don't think everyone else out there is that comfortable doing that. And that's, it's a hard thing to come by. I mean, he's not Sidney Crosby, but he's Sidney Crosby comfortable in the spotlight. And I don't know. I mean, it would be a huge, huge loss for this team. I don't know. I'm hoping it doesn't happen. I think fans on both sides secretly should be hoping it doesn't happen, because you want him in that game for entertainment value.
Yeah, you said he was a gamer and a winner. That's what John Cooper called his Team Canada. So maybe it'd be good if he's not in the lineup for us. Okay, so Cale Makar hopefully is playing for Canada Thursday. You're back in Boston, which is a different setting. Like, what tips the scales for Canada? Like, what is the biggest factor that might be different when these teams face off on Thursday? And I know that there's some injuries that we don't know about, or maybe some illnesses. Let's just say things go ahead. Different barn, different setting, but you got Cale Makar back in the lineup.
That changes a ton. I mean, you have a team that, when I talked to Anson Carter and Paul Bissonnette before this game earlier today, they didn't like the East-West style that Canada seemed to employ for part of that USA game. When you have Cale Makar, you go north-south. I mean, he's as fast as it gets, and he's, he's sort of this one-man transition. Mm-hmm. And he, carries the mail, brings it up, starts the offense, gets offense from defense in a way that Team Canada just could not without him. And he's a defenseman that your goalie has to worry about. So I think he is the big difference in this one. I also think there's sort of this idea that we've talked about with the Maple Leafs when they're in a pressure game. Maybe they'd be better off playing a pressure game on the road.
Oh.
I think with Team Canada, it's not the worst thing in the world that they play this pressure game and it's not in Montreal. There's still going to be plenty of Canadian fans there, but you don't hear the boo birds unless they're just American fans. You don't hear the home boo birds in a way. And maybe the pressure lessens a little bit. They could be a little bit looser. That could tip things for them.
Yeah, a couple factors, I think, playing towards Canada. I think that could be one of them. It seems like they sorted out their lines today, which I think is important. Obviously, getting Cale Makar back is maybe number one on that list. If we're talking about ways in which the USA has changed, I guess we'll never really know, but we have a now meaningless game tonight. And I feel like, there would have been the possibility of shenanigans and, hey, do we lose to Sweden to play Sweden? Maybe that would have been done in the past, but I feel like the USA wanted Canada a second time, no doubt about it, and would have played that way. Do you believe the same?
I do. I don't think they would have played their first home game of this tournament not to win. I just don't think so at all. And I do agree. I think they want Canada on the biggest stage with the biggest audience Thursday night in Boston. No, I think they would have gone all out to win this game. I don't think they're dropping the gloves. I don't think they're, necessarily going out of their way to start something like that. But no, I think this team would have played to win. And here's the deal. You can still rest, guys. I mean, you could – putting Jake Oettinger in net doesn't give you, less of a chance. I mean, I know Hellebuck's been otherworldly, but Jake Oettinger is a great goalie. I do wonder, though, what we see injury-wise from guys who are, 50-50 come Thursday, and what that means and what the decision making is going to be going into those. Because I know Charlie McAvoy's out tonight, obviously Matthew Tkachuk. And I wonder, two teams with, one team battling to get in the playoffs, another team looking to win another title. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting, and we're going to see how much this is worth some of the guys.
Last one for you, Liam. We appreciate your time. I know you guys got a busy night ahead. What are the bets going on between you and the Canadian boys? Because we got a couple here with some of our American guests, but I was curious what you might have cooked up over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Biz and I are ready here. So if Team Canada wins this, I am doing a show dressed up as a Canadian Mountie.
Great.
Yep, full costume. Wardrobe.
Where do you even get that from?
I don't know. We got
a Canadian Mountie.
Yeah, we have people here at TNT where that's their job.
Perfect.
They get to do this for a living. And if Team USA wins, Biz will be Uncle Sam for the entire show.
I'm also scheduled to be Uncle Sam.
He is scheduled.
In a bet with Frank Saravalli. So.
Oh, nice!
I guess
actually
your
borrow
people,
the costume.
If your people could tell our people how to get that costume, that would be that would be much appreciated.
Oh yeah, well that's not a problem at all. Our people will send it. I'm wondering though if it'll be the Apollo Creed Uncle Sam, where it's like the open vest with no shirt underneath.
Okay, that sounds more like Biz than Justin.
That's more of a Biz.
That's more Biz than Justin. I'm supposed to be the Statue of Liberty, so I just hope I never have to go through any of this. I mean, he wants me to paint my face and everything, so. We'll just hope that Canada wins, and then we won't have to deal with any of that on our side.
Well, best of luck to both of you, but yeah. I really hope this is Uncle Sam.
Yeah, that would be it'd be good content regardless. Well, we appreciate your time tonight, Liam. Enjoy the rest of the week, and can't wait to see what Thursday has in store.
All right. Thanks for having me on. Take care, guys.
Thanks so much. That's Liam McHugh, NHL on TNT. Yeah, Uncle Sam, gosh, you're running thick in these parts,
yeah,
eh?
It might actually cost me more than expected.
Well, I think you're... interpretation of Uncle Sam might look a little different than Bob Bissonnette.
Yeah, probably. I feel like slightly more restrictions, both
here, yes,
self-imposed and yes, by the powers.
I don't know if you came.
He gets
here
away with a little bit more than I do.
Like half tarps off that we'd be approved, but you know, hopefully we don't need to find out. Okay, that's great. Tonight we've got USA Sweden. Doesn't look like Linus Olmark's going to be playing. It looks like he's sick, and we also have Jake Oettinger in net. So. I did hear, and Kipper and Bourne were talking about, and I know the Fan Hockey Show was talking about, there's like a real flu bug that was going around. Like there was illnesses in Montreal. So hopefully that doesn't follow everyone to Boston because we want to see everybody healthy for this game on Thursday night.
Yeah, we definitely do. We definitely do. I kind of want also to see the Tkachuks play together one day.
Yes.
Like this, it was unbelievable seeing those two. The partnership, obviously the fights, the interaction. I mean, yeah.
They in the penalty box, being mic'd up. It was amazing.
They could be one of the most marketable tandems.
That's why I said the
US
Kelce
sports.
Brothers.
Like, it's not
tell me
far
that
off.
You
obviously,
wouldn't...
it's football and it's Taylor Swift and it's the Chiefs and Super Bowls and all that. Like, that is huge. But those guys could be absolute megastars. And I'm sorry to any Ottawa Senators fan that I'm offending by even putting that out there. But if those two ever played together.
Well, why couldn't they play together in Ottawa?
They could. But I think Matthews... probably pretty comfortable in Florida. Anyway, both of them have a lot of time left on their deals. Yeah. But I wonder, I think that's also a very cool thing about them is that they just love each other and love being Tkachuks so
yeah, like when Brady
so
came to
much.
The games, when Matthew
exactly.
Tkachuk was in the playoffs and was pounding beers, like
yeah.
they are really supportive. It is a Kelce brother relationship, and I know they're very different. But, you know, imagine those two on a podcast, like just getting to see more what goes on behind the scenes for them. I don't know. Could
and
be
they
fun.
Help set the tone for this tournament for which
yes,
I think everyone should be grateful because this tournament, partly because of them, to this point has been spectacular.
Well, maybe they will have a great, fun Thursday, but still end up losing. We'll see what happens.
I also hope he's in the lineup, which is not a guarantee, that being Matthew.
Okay, before we go chat with Shai Davidi after the break and shift to a little baseball, we're going to take a look one more time at some best bets. So time now for best bets brought to you by Betano. With the Four Nations face-off, you know, occupying our minds and definitely south of the border as well, it got me looking ahead to the NHL season, which is on pause right now. It's going to resume this weekend already, which is crazy. So I'm feeling patriotic. And I think I'm going to find a best bet that has to do with the future of Canadian hockey. I'm going to pick a Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup.
Wow.
Yes. +215 on Betano.
Okay.
And I, for reference, Oilers are the favorites right now on Betano to win the Cup. They're 6-1. Leafs 10-1. Jets 12-1. And the American opponents that get in the way of this happening, Canes 7-1, Panthers 9-1, Stars 10-1. I just think, right now, feeling really good about my Canadian boys, feeling very patriotic. We got our Canada jersey on in the background. Why not end the drought? +215, one of those three, maybe four or five. We might get the most amount of Canadian teams in the playoffs for the first time in a long time.
Would you share, or would you trade, excuse me, a Four Nations face-off title for a Stanley Cup champion north of the border?
Yes. This is a one-off tournament that is only going to ignite us.
I mean, it would just guarantee 2 months of hockey bliss, which we've had only for the last week or so.
And it's going to ignite us more if Canada were to lose this Four Nations face-off. Mm-hmm. And think about all the content we have headed towards the Olympics. So I probably would trade it off, okay. But I feel bad saying that.
I think I would too.
Okay. What's your best bet?
Just on the topic of this tournament and how it applies to winning the Stanley Cup, I feel like there are certain people and certain individuals who are like quite comfortable in these pressure pack situations, and certain individuals that don't seem all that comfortable. And I think that's something you can apply to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of winners on Team Canada. That's kind of what they did, and mm-hmm. that's what they brought to the table.
A lot of experience.
In a lot of ways. But like Matthew Tkachuk, clearly, as Liam McHugh mentioned, kind of that Sidney Crosby, where he's comfortable in the spotlight, and not every player we've seen in this tournament and in that game Saturday night was and did kind of shrink in the moment. So I'm paying attention to what every individual in this tournament is doing, and I think that'll be somewhat instructive when trying to figure out who's going to win the Stanley Cup. But really, honestly, most of the value is sucked out in the NHL futures market, and not that anything we've seen in the last week really affects it. However, we did see Cale Makar in absence. We did see Cale Makar violently ill, it seemed like, in this tournament. And that doesn't really matter for the next 2 months. But what does matter is that Quinn Hughes is getting healthy at this moment in time rather than playing hockey. I think the only value on the board in the futures market belongs to Quinn Hughes plus money to win the Norris. He's only 10 points behind, or 10 games, sorry, he's played fewer and is only a couple points behind. I think Quinn Hughes is going to be really, really important, instrumental down the stretch, help Vancouver make to the playoffs, and I think his resume will be more impressive than Cale Makar's at the end of the day. So Quinn Hughes for Norris, still some plus money out there in the futures market that I think worth exploring.
Yeah, we've been tracking some of these odds for the Hart, for the Calder, for the Norris, for the Jack Adams, but you're right, a lot of them are minus, minus money, so find a little bit of value there on Quinn Hughes. I also liked Nathan McKinnon's plus money for the Hart to sneak there. All right, that was Best Bets brought to you by Betano. Tap into Betano today. As we mentioned it, USA Sweden tonight at 8 p.m., I've got some bonus bets for you I wanted to show. Now, USA and Sweden, nothing to play for except for the JT Miller-Elias Pettersson drama. They will be facing off together for the first time since the drama happened. USA doesn't have much to play for besides getting ready for Thursday. Sweden has a lot of pride on the line. So there is a bonus parlay at Betano that I like. Both of those guys to get a point. So Pettersson and Miller to get a point is plus 590. Sportsnet 590, the fan.
Okay.
I think it's fitting. I also think if you want just an anytime goal, Pettersson's plus 450, hasn't scored yet, and you've got Miller plus 365.
So all right. I like it.
That's the thing I'm looking forward to tonight. They might go head-to-head.
I don't know what to expect tonight, but I feel like the Pettersson-Miller thing, because it's ultimately unimportant, may not have the same juice, but I'd like to see those guys interact.
I think they will have some juice regardless of this game meaning nothing, and maybe even because it means something to Sweden, who's lost all of their games.
Yeah, a little pride for Sweden.
Okay, let's take a quick break. On the other side, Shai Davidi of Sportsnet will join us. He's in Dunedin. We are counting down the minutes and hours and days on Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s Instagram story. And if you're following, it's less than 24 hours until we find out if he's going to be a Blue Jay or if he's going to go to free agency. And Shai will give us the latest on the other side of the break.
The most opinionated Maple Leaf show out there. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Fan Pregame on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan after us, it's USA Sweden and 8 p.m. puck drop on Sportsnet. The Golf League, TGL's up on Sportsnet 1. They've been kind of going all day.
Looks like a triple header there. TGL.
Yeah, it's family day here in Canada, so a lot of people off just hanging around with their mountains of snow watching golf on a simulator, so it's kind of a perfect day.
Like, it continues to just work out perfectly in terms of the Four Nations face-off and going against the NBA All-Star Game, obviously no contest, a holiday today, a matinee on the holiday, obviously that's a slam dunk. Like, it just feels like everything has worked out really well for the NHL putting this tournament together. And now it has, as we mentioned, and as you know, Thursday's final, which will feature the matchup everyone wants to see in a rematch of Saturday night. It actually couldn't be working out better.
On an 8 p.m. start on Thursday. All right, it is Family Day, so let's bring in a member of our own. Shai Davidi of Sportsnet joins us from Dunedin. Shai, how's it going?
I'm all right. How are you?
How's your house?
Like, yeah, who's shoveling your driveway? Yeah, what's going on?
What's with the snow?
Got a ring cam you're looking at?
My 14-year-old has done some yeoman's work.
Yeah.
And thankfully, he has insisted that my wife not do any of it.
That's
so
really nice.
So good on him. Big assist there. Not a shout out to the plow that left half my driveway covered once he came over. But he dug through that even this morning, too. Aww. So good on him.
MVP. There you go. All right, Shai. I don't know if it's the witching hour or like we're watching the countdown on Vlad's Instagram story, but of course we're all kind of anxiously anticipating what's going to happen with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. What do you know is the latest in terms of extension talks, or are we going to free agency?
I think we're going down to the wire one way or the other. And the sides have been engaged since the weekend. And I think what's happening today, and I'm speculating a little bit here, but I think what's happening a little bit today is that the posturing that both sides have been going through basically since this process started is come down to final decision time. And they're either going to get there or they won't. But I think I would expect, especially because of how baseball works and their dependency on deadlines to get things done, they're probably finally getting to their actual positions as opposed to their testing ground positions. And we'll see if the deadline drives them together or not.
If it doesn't happen, Shai, what's the why on this? You could look at both sides here. Vladdy's 10 months away, 9 months away from being able to explore his market in full. The Blue Jays maybe have some reluctance, whether it's money or the actual value and benefit that they see in the player. If it doesn't happen, what's like the main point in terms of why?
Well, I don't think there's just one. It's a complicated question. I think in the moment, the obvious one is that they just couldn't agree on what the value is and what the market is. And the market certainly got muddled to some degree by the Juan Soto extension. And I think the general... And I thought this for a while too, but the general thought is that, okay, well, there's an inflationary effect that drags everyone up. But to me, the more significant takeaway from Soto, from Yamamoto last year, Sasaki's a little bit different, but similar, is the way teams behave when an elite young free agent is available in the market. And they really go all out and are really aggressive when the youth is there. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr., if he hits the open market, is going to be selling his age 27 and beyond. And that's going to be appealing. And that's going to make him very different from other first base free agents that we've seen and other free agents that go to the market. Like, you are literally buying his peak. And so how do you value that? How do you anticipate the effect of what that might do to other teams and other suitors in the market? That, I think, is complicated it. Just the way that the Fernando Tatis deal, when that was signed in February 21, complicated the early career extension possibility for both Guerrero and Bichette. So, I think, without knowing exactly where the final numbers land, I think the general thing that you can point to is that they just can't see the market in the same way if a deal isn't reached.
How strong is this cutoff date tomorrow? Like, if they don't have Vladdy signed by tomorrow, will they fully respect not having discussions all season long? Or is there like a, hey, we'll give it to you and it's halfway through the season, or is this it?
Well, I think you have to respect mm-hmm. what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. says. And he says he doesn't want to talk about it during the season. You're not going to talk to him about it during the season. Now, could something change along the way? Sure, that's always possible. But the impression that I've been under is that Guerrero doesn't want to be thinking about this once it's time to go to work. And beginning on Tuesday, when the first full squad workout takes place, I mean, that's time for him to go to work. So he doesn't want to deal with it until the end of the season. He doesn't want his teammates to have to deal with the constant stream of questions. And so as a result, this is that deadline. I think the Blue Jays will have to take it seriously and realize that if they don't get it done today, then their next chance is when he becomes a free agent.
So you mentioned engaged this weekend and some posturing from both sides. What would you consider a fair criticism of the Blue Jays management team throughout this process? Maybe too cavalier up to this point, given how close he is to actually being able to explore the market? Was it mistakes of a couple years ago and not investing in the long term when they had so much runway ahead? Like, if this doesn't get done today and tonight, what would be the fair criticism of the front office to you? Because you can't really criticize Vladdy. It's his future and he can bet on himself as much as he wants, but this would be open season to a certain extent with the management team, given that we've reached this point after such a long relationship and really no commitment throughout that relationship.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting, right? Because if we were talking last spring, would you feel as strongly about a Guerrero extension as you do now? Mm-hmm. And I think that would that'd be a fairly widely held opinion. I think ultimately it's the job of clubs to know if that player is legitimate or not, right? And the way that you can, you know, one thing that I've thought about is that, you know, you have to, as an executive, as a front office, your job is to properly project your player and to be able to live with some of the volatility that they're going to have in their experience. And if your assessment after that 21 season is that, you know, Guerrero is going to give us X number of wins over the course of his career, and we have to be willing to stomach some of the ups and downs, you could have done the Tatis then. And if you had, the Blue Jays ended up paying Guerrero about $71 million through his arbitration years. And, you know, if they had just copied that Padres contract for Tatis, then you'd be looking at $270 million over 10 years for his free agent years. And, you know, I think that right now you would absolutely sign up for that. And like, look, this is complicated stuff. And this is where front offices and executives get themselves either extended or fired. But you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're chasing the market. And with Guerrero and Bichette, to a lesser degree, the Blue Jays have found themselves in a position where they've been chasing the market. And, you know, based on his 22 and 23 seasons, you could say, oh, they probably did the right thing. And after 24 and the expectations on him for 25 and beyond, you're like, uh-oh, that could be a really costly mistake.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the reporting from all of our Sportsnet talent and writers down, and Hazel May had some great quotes about Bo Bichette, for example, and saying that he was told they would reach out. They haven't yet. Obviously, the priority is Vladdy. Like, I just wonder for you where the Bo Bichette discussion is. Has it happened? Is it not going to happen? Is it just we're focused on Vladdy and we'll get to you next? Like, how does that?
He should have set a deadline.
Maybe he should have. And how does that affect Bo? Because Bo has been a guy that we've always put Bo and Vlad and Bo, but like they're definitely different people and they probably want different things, but he says he wants to win and he's here and he's positive. But I would think that would make me feel a little slighted personally.
Well, I think the scenario is very different for Bo Bichette, right? Mm-hmm. He's coming off an injury and a down year, and how are you valuing him at that point? And he doesn't want to do a contract coming off one of perhaps the worst season he'll ever have in his career. He'd want to do a contract coming off a stronger season. But to me, I think the most telling thing with Bo is that last September he told me that, you know, he'd want to finish his career with the Blue Jays with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Mm. And if the Blue Jays don't know what they're doing with Guerrero Jr., well, then what exactly are you selling to Bo Bichette about the future, right? And, you know, this is one thing that's really kind of snuck under the radar a little bit, but everything that the Blue Jays did this winter, and, you know, they've certainly strengthened their roster in a number of different areas, but there is a lot that can easily be unraveled still on this roster. If things go very poorly in 25, you know, they could potentially tear down. Like, they're in position to do that. There's very few pieces on the roster that you wouldn't be able to move and move for some value. So until there's a Guerrero extension in place, then you know, the exact direction and what, how you're building a core and all that stuff, it's a little bit uncertain. And I think knowing that, knowing the season that Bo Bichette is coming off, it's just very hard to extend him. And, you know, part of me wonders too, that if the Blue Jays don't have Guerrero locked up, then I don't know that Bo Bichette would want to commit until he knows where Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is.
We're talking to Sportsnet's Shai Davidi. Okay, so if tonight the self-imposed deadline comes and goes, how does that affect the ecosystem that is spring training, the Blue Jays season? It might be deflating for some. It might not matter to many, but you're obviously around the early days here of spring training. If that gets set aside and it's not happening and it puts kind of the whole summer under some sort of question, given the future of the Blue Jays, how do you think that affects the entire organism?
Well, it's a really interesting question, because I think there are layers to it, right? Like, on the whole, one way or the other, you know that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is here for 2025, right? So that isn't different. And if you are one of the veteran players whose contract is expiring either at the end of this year or at the end of next year, you're probably not too worried about whether or not there's an extension. You're probably thinking, oh, great, well, maybe this helps him have a big year, and because he wants to take that into free agency, and that helps us have more success, right? So I don't think you're worried about it. If you're a younger player and you've got a longer trajectory with the franchise, you're probably saying, well, I really wish that we'd have this middle of the order bat and, you know, aircraft carrier type player in place for the lineup. You know, if you're Anthony Santander or Jeff Hoffman, who just signed multi-year deals as free agents to be here, you're probably like, yeah, we'd like Guerrero to stay. But then you're also wondering, okay, well, if he goes and say Bo goes, well, that's $50 million in available payroll right there. What could the Blue Jays do with that? So I think it's some combination of all those thoughts. But ultimately, look, the Blue Jays know that one way or the other, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is reporting for work tomorrow. They're going to have him for the 2025 season unless they decide to trade him at some point, which they're obviously not doing until they know that they'd have to. And so, it shouldn't change very much.
We're talking with Shai Davidi on the eve of spring training. So what is the most intriguing roster battle for us to keep an eye out this time around for the Blue Jays?
Oof. Look, I think that the rotation is pretty set, right? And that should be, barring injuries, you know, that's not going to be too complicated. And then you're going to have a few spots that are going to be available in the bullpen, and I think that'll be interesting. But to me, it's how the bench and the outfield mix and third base combination ends up shaping up, right? That you're going to, the Blue Jays have right now a lot of players who are similar-ish in profile and guys who are just sort of on the cusp, you know, part-time guys with a lot of potential who could grow into productive regulars. Mm-hmm. But which is the one is the right one, and what's the combination of skill sets that you'd like? There's a part of me that still wonders if there's a trade at some point this spring where the Blue Jays try to maybe get someone who's a bit more of an established player, and it consolidates some of the young pieces that they have into one stronger talent. I think that's certainly possible. And then there's an opportunity for the Blue Jays to maybe do that over the course of the spring. But I think how that position player mix ends up shaking out, you know, there's obviously some guys that are set and are pretty locked in, but you know, what exactly is that mix in the outfield? Does Dalton Varsho miss some time to start the season? Does that open up some pathways? And how does that shake out with third base as well? That's probably, to me, the area where they'll be the most intrigued when camp is wrapping up.
Last one for you, Shai. You've seen Max Scherzer in action at spring training. What is most striking about watching Mad Max ply his trade?
Well, I mean, you know the nickname Mad Max, and you've obviously seen him pitch in games. But, like, just watching his first bullpen, it was like 50-something pitches, and, like, dudes rarely throw that many pitches in their first side of the spring. And he's not just throwing pitches, like he's like frothing and he's like, you know, he's into it. And like, he's mad at himself if he like misses a pitch, and he's got like Miles Straw standing in because he wants that visual of throwing to a hitter. And, you know, he's trying to be so fun. Right. And just, you know, make sure that he's sort of executing at a really high level. And you just don't see a lot of guys who do it with that intensity. And so, you know, he's in that way, he's living up to the nickname Mad Max. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that ferocity, that determination, that focus. I mean, there's a reason why he's as good as he is. And it's clearly not an accident.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun to see him pitch at the Rogers Center this spring and summer, and maybe into the fall. We'll see. Shai, we appreciate you joining us. I'm excited to see which version of your article is posted tomorrow morning. The good one or the hopeful one? How about that? We'll be hopeful regardless.
Yeah, it's definitely some interesting times and one of the more fateful days for the Blue Jays franchise. So
no pressure.
We'll see how it turns out.
Thanks so much, Shai. I appreciate your time.
Have a great night, guys.
That is Shai Davidi of Sportsnet. Okay, you were a writer once in your good old days.
Sure.
If you're like, you're Shai, you're one of our writers, you've got the Blue Jays locked in with Vladdy, long-term picture article ready, and then you've got the ready,
you just have both
ready to press send.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
I think so.
And he had time to chat with us for 20 minutes.
Shai is clearly more talented and much more able than I ever was.
Yes.
So maybe he doesn't have to resort to such tactics.
But you, I'm saying, if you were him.
Definitely. You'd probably have.
Oh, how sad is it to be like, you've got the beautiful story arc of the Blue Jays signing Vlad, and they've really locked in. What else can they do to build around him? How much this changes this season? You've got like this like hopeful, like romantic story almost. And then you've got the one that's like, oh, he's not a Blue Jay. He's going to free agency. What is he going to sign? The Red Sox are going to love him and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably hard.
Yeah, one full of potential consequences, the other full of potential solutions.
It's a very important day tomorrow.
Things to consider after the fact that you've got Vladdy locked up, and clearly they have not done that yet. I just think, again, we talked about it last time. Everything comes down to the wire with Vladdy. Why
is
that?
It is the wire.
Is it a Vlad thing? Is it him and the imposed deadlines and the way that he likes to work? Or do the Blue Jays just like push this to the side too much and back someone into the corner, or not give up as much as they probably should or will until the last possible second? Is that the best way to conduct business when, yeah, this is a hugely important day for the future of this franchise?
And
it feels like it's not
impactful.
Something you should be messing with all that much.
Maybe they've been waiting for a perfect night where Canada's not in action. The Four Nations face-off takes a deep breath. We've already got our setup. We've got Canada-USA Thursday. Everyone's kind of like, all right, this USA-Sweden game doesn't really mean too much. Mm-hmm. And boom, we get off the air at 7, which this happens.
It could be it.
We get off at 7. We're not even in our cars in the parking lot, and we get the alert that he's locked in. Like, I can see that happening. Or I can see us waking up in the morning and be like, oh, okay, so that's it.
What a position for Vladdy to be in. Because, like, even if it is, like, increments are coming your way, like, not hourly, but, like, every now and then they're like, okay, the Blue Jays are willing to go up to this. That's what the agent's saying. And he's like, well, you know, we were kind of thinking about something else. And now they're getting closer to that number. And you're going hour by hour thinking if they'll get to that number that you are looking for. And if not, you're just
why not wait till the last minute then, right?
I'll see what the Mets have to offer next year. Like, it is quite the situation to be in.
Okay, we do a lot of betting. We do a lot of betting on the show. Mm-hmm. What's the money line? The odds that Vladdy's a Blue Jay locked into tomorrow
morning.
It's
plus money they sign him. No?
Wow. Yeah, I feel that way too.
Like plus 140 range?
Oh, I was thinking longer.
Yeah?
But I would say plus 140. Actually, I think that's pretty accurate. It's not a coin toss because at this point,
it's not so juicy that you gotta buy it.
Yeah.
Like you're.
It's like worth a sprinkle, but you're kind of like annoyed about it.
Happiness hedge type of deal.
All right. Well, We're going to talk about it tomorrow. By this time tomorrow, we will know about the fate of the Blue Jays and Vladdy. And my Vladdy Blue Jays jersey that I bought the very first day he made his appearance. I ran down to the Rogers Center. I was one of the first people to the Jay Shop. They put me on the Jay Shop TV.
You like vintage, but you don't want that.
I don't want that to be vintage. I want to be able to wear that for many years. So That's just a plea. Do it. Sign him. All right, folks. You got Sweden and USA up next on Sportsnet. 8 o'clock puck drop. We will see you tomorrow.
Continue teeing up Thursday's
final.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about this.
Canada, the United States, the rematch.
Not a big deal.
Four nations face-off. Exceeding expectations.
We're looking forward to it. That was the Fan Pregame brought to you by Betano. The game starts now. Have a great night.